Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening, we'll talk about the impact of COVID-19 on African economies. With us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor, Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst who is joining us from Durban, South Africa. So, gentlemen, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yes. It's too early to say that the global economy is entering the recovery phase after the humanitarian and economic damage inflicted by COVID-19. However, Africa, which fortunately has had less cases of the virus, the economic future seems very uncertain. How African states respond and adapt in the coming months to these destabilizing forces will have significant implications for their future economies and societies. So, gentlemen, let me start with Vincent there. Given how African countries are handling this situation, fortunately, as I said, the impact has not been as bad as elsewhere in the world. But the lockdowns and the measures taken in those countries are economic hit on many economies on the continent.
Most certainly. You know, the thing about Africa, which makes it be kind of special in the way the impact will be felt, is that to a large extent, Africa is based on small-scale business and small-scale agriculture. And so while in the Western world, governments can give stimulus packages to companies, governments can help, in fact, generate a number of jobs even after this COVID-19. I mean, it has, countries like the U.S. have been impacted and they continue being impacted, but the recovery can easily happen because there is wealth, and this wealth can be pumped into these companies. The U.S. has in the past had recovery programs where you make sure you pump money into bigger companies so that they can absorb the workforce and, in that sense, help people go back and take care of themselves. Now, we are economies that are based on very small scale, to a large extent, small scale businesses. Millions of people are aching out their living on the streets, whether of Nairobi or Cape Town or Johannesburg or like Nigeria's big cities. Now, others are engaged in small scale businesses, rather agriculture, where they depend on taking their wares to the marketplaces. Now, here is how things get complex here. When you have these fellows who are doing small-scale businesses on the roadsides and then marketplaces, unable to go to the marketplaces, unable to continue doing their businesses, there is no money coming in for them. And as a consequence, for those who are selling certain wares like agricultural products also, they have nowhere to sell their products, or they have nobody to sell to because their purchasing power has been severely undermined. What we have failed to see is an elaborate economic program that will go back and help those who have lost their means of livelihood by giving them some kind of financial aid, financial stimulus. So that if a person was for the last 7 months or 6 or 7 months unable to do his small business on the roadside, how do you give that person the ability to get up again and move ahead in the coming months? Most of those are going to end up going back into poverty, have lost all the little money that they used to revolve in as a kind of a capital for their businesses. So I'm seeing a situation where we're going to have millions and millions of people who are meaningfully engaged in some small businesses in order to take care of their families being totally crippled. And that will have a ripple effect across the economy because it will affect their families, will affect those who relied on them to buy goods and agricultural products from them. And therefore, as a consequence, the whole country's economy will be severely affected unless something is done. Very urgently.
I see. Suleiman, isn't it expecting too much from some of these governments who have failed to provide health services, failed to provide other social services, to sort of give some cushion, some social safety net to the people who are hardly hit?
Oh,
precisely, picking it from where Vicent has left, already the pandemic has exposed the nature of the economies that we have had for the past 20 or so years. Basically, we don't have proper running economies. Our commodity-based economies were basically for the interest of the of a few. Apart from being commodity-based, we find that they have they are foreign-owned. Those the small ones, which are big, are foreign-owned. So you find that the ordinary man in Africa doesn't feature in the economies of these countries. As Vincent has said, it becomes so difficult even to intervene because these economies which we have run ever since the intervention of the IMF and World Bank into our economies, ever since that time, the nature of economy which we have had are predatory economies, and they are for the benefit of the few. So the majority of our people are in the informal sector. They cannot be helped because, not only because they cannot be helped, but because even, number one, there is no leadership, because the leadership which has been there for years has not bothered about them. It has failed to create policies that can be able to help them, to create employment, to create economic development. The figures which are given of 5% plus economic development are for the elites, are for the little few beneficiaries. Or maybe we can say those figures are meant for the benefactors who might be in Europe rather than in Africa. Because in Africa, the majority of our people have remained poor, they have remained unemployed, their conditions are getting worse and worse. So by and large, we can say that while there is no leadership at all which can consider them, there is even no policies which are lined up to ensure that they can help these particular economies from the pandemic. Maybe to short it a little bit before we go deep into it, maybe I could say even that right now, as even where we stand, I think there is even a confusion as to the way our government have responded to the pandemic itself. They seem to be running in circles. They seem to be running fast but going nowhere. So that one also complicates the matter of economic intervention, because even on the pandemic side itself, there seems to be no way forward.
I see. Yeah, go ahead, Vincent.
I wanted to add that, you see, even if you look at, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric out there. Governments may come up and say, yes, we're going to have some response to this COVID-19, the impact of COVID-19 on our people. But then when you look at the measures that they say they will take, there's nothing realistic that looks like will have some impact, positive impact. I mean, you need to just look at what they're doing right now. And in fact, we wish them well. We wish that this government had the ability and the plans that would effectively help the people of our continent. But you look at a country, they say, like South Africa, it's a very powerful economy compared to so many others. But during this time of lockdown, and today they just announced preparing up to 1 million graves in preparation in Gauteng of a possible death from COVID-19. And there we haven't talked about people who are being affected, who will be sick and unable even to access healthcare. But then look at South Africa. You see, for example, groups of people who live in poverty, especially in the townships, at the moment, they're struggling to feed their families. They cannot even get enough water to wash their hands as regularly as required. They can't access certain things like soap. They can't self-isolate because they live in these crammed, slums. And then you're talking about a big country, a big economy. How about the more are the less endowed countries across the continent that are way poorer. And we're told that the COVID-19 cases are actually going to climb higher. So Africa shouldn't celebrate for having a very low number of COVID-19 cases because we haven't had enough testing. And infections might actually start now, as experts are saying, may start rising across the continent. So the question is, yes, countries may say, government may say, yes, we're going to try and find a way to help the people. But can you even identify them? My brother there mentioned the commodity-based businesses that we have there. We have people who are doing small-scale businesses, who are self-employed, that nobody even knows about. Do we have a registry of people? Do we know who does what kind of a business? These are informal sectors. These are people who are unregistered as business people. So even if you wanted to help them, how do you identify them? Because the countries have failed to develop real economies that can give people real kind of economic support, even as they try to help themselves, as they try to self-employ.
Suleiman, and some the reports from certain countries across the continent where those in power have actually benefited, are making money out of this crisis.
There is no doubt it is an economic bonanza. It is a looting spree for the majority because, number one, many of these regimes, they have been in power for a long time. Two, because of the nature of the economies that we have been running, they are individual capitalist-based economies which do not cater for the people. So because of that, any resources which have come under the guise of helping to fight the pandemic has to fall into their hand because they are used to looting the countries. Number two, the disease has not affected us so much apart from the North African countries and South Africa. The rest of the countries, they are still in 1,000 infections. They are moving slowly. But even then, as Vincent has said, when you look at the leadership capability on the continent, it is worrying because even the pandemic part of it itself, what have they done? There is no doubt the pandemic is here. There is no doubt the figures are climbing. Yes, the deaths are not many, but there is a likelihood. As WHO has said, the real truth is in between as far as Africa is concerned. It can either become a catastrophe or they can escape the large scale death. So, as far as Africa is concerned, the truth is in between, according to WHO. But regardless of that, what have the governments done as far as the pandemic? Before we go into the economic interventions, have they been able to prepare? Is there preparedness? Are there enough policies to ensure prevention of spread? Are there enough policies for preparedness? Are there hospitals which are being built in order if in case there is skyrocketing of infection and the admission? Are there emergency preparation for relief in case lockdowns will be tightened further? Is there a relook at the effect of the lockdowns? Are the lockdowns in the countries which are still being locked up, are they necessary? Have they analyzed? Have they internalized? Have they been able to internalize and see whether those lockdowns are continuing or they are still following the guidelines as given by the World Health Organization, the organization as they were given?
I see.
As far as the leadership is concerned, I think we are still lacking a lot. And because there is lack of leadership, even on the serious part of the pandemic itself, it becomes worse even when you come to the economic intervention. For the economic intervention, the picture looks to be more bleak even than the pandemic question.
I see. Well, for those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you from Washington. Our topic tonight, we are looking at the impact and the response of African countries to the COVID-19 pandemic. Our panelists are Vincent Makori, Managing Editor, Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst And I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, here in Washington. Gentlemen, you have all laid out factors that how the continent may respond and what the impacts are. But then there are factors that are external. For instance, this pandemic has made what globalization sort of go the other reverse direction, what people are calling deglobalization. You can see air travel is down, shipping is not working. This will lead down, with these restrictions and closing borders will have a serious impact on Africa too.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I mean, first, there are so many people now losing their jobs because that's the other way in which it's going to impact the economies directly and indirectly. For example, airlines, most airlines, even Kenya Airways of Kenya, has said it's going to lay off people. What does that translate into? Is people going to be jobless and they will be unable to feed their families and they may fall back into some kind of poverty. And then when you consider how many other so-called bigger companies are going to take such measures, it's going to throw thousands of people out there jobless. But I think one of the things that comes out of this, that if we want to sit down as Africans and African leaders were to really think seriously about this period that we're going through, is why are we where we are? It is because for all these years, we have lived a life of dependency. We live and budget our lives on other people's economies. We are expecting to fund our country's economy from what? From money given as loans or as grants from somewhere else. We don't have our own money. We don't seem to have a wealth base where we can generate enough money to do anything for ourselves. So the biggest lesson I think that will come out of this is that African countries have to work now in a frenzy to develop those countries, to develop our economies so that our economies can grow to a level where at least we have our own wealth, where at least you can say we have some finance, some money we can fall back to, whether it is from the private sector or at least the public sector. But we cannot continue this kind of a path where the countries rely heavily on foreign aid, on loans from abroad. Because when such a thing happens like COVID-19, where all these other countries are affected and they have nothing to give, they can't give you because they are dealing with their own problems, then what? Then how do we survive? Mm-hmm. Because now we can't really come with our begging bowls to Washington, go to Europe. They're dealing with their own economic challenges right now. So the big lesson is the continent needs to work hard, in a frenzy indeed, to develop itself so that we can get to a point where we can also feel that we can take care of some of our needs instead of relying entirely on the West or China or whatever the case may be.
I see. Suleiman?
Hey, Douglas, the continent is in a serious, serious, serious problem. Because, as you've said, the macroeconomic effects are great. For now, we have been relying very much on, many countries have been relying on the China. So China trade and investment is going to reduce. There is going to be low demand from the European and the OECD countries. There is going to be interruption in the supply chains from those countries for countries which have got industries. So you'll find largely all our economies are going to have a very big shock as far as the economies are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Vincent has said, we are going to have reduced revenue. But already we didn't have revenue at all. Seriously speaking, many of the African countries are insolvent. Remember, these countries for the last 30 years, they have been moving from debt relief, debt forgiveness, budget support. Now they are in loans and budget support, and they are still there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have excess revenue to be able to support our own budgets. What we are talking about as budgets, they are being, the way Vincent has said, they are being financed from foreign countries.
I see.
Number two, our economies are not controlled by ourselves. These economies have been controlled ever since IMF and World Bank came in with the structured adjustment program. They took over the control of our economies. We cannot produce. Countries cannot do what the interventions which we have so far, economically in our economies, they are superficial fiscal and monetary interventions, very small. Look at their countries, let's say, which have said the fiscal intervention or the monetary, say we are going to reduce taxes on the agriculture imports.
Mm-hmm.
That one is not enough to improve agriculture. We are going to reduce taxes on this to support import substitution. The reduction of import duties cannot be a panacea.
Mm-hmm.
You need the whole economies of Africa. We need a new trajectory. We need a paradigm shift. We need to consider how our economies have been managed for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We need to leave alone the policies which have been forced us to start new policies that can look at being independent, as the way Vincent has said. We are looking at being independent. Can we be able to produce on our own? Can we be able to do value addition? Can we have a systematic government intervention? Look, the South African government has made very good interventions, many of them. But the way Vincent has said, many of these might be for big business. They cannot touch the ordinary man on the street because our economies, we have left them to be for the ordinary man. So we need a real restructuring. And when you look at the continent, no government has come up to say that we need fundamental economic reforms to return the economies of our countries into our own hands.
I see. Let's also point out one external factor that may have a serious impact on the continent. COVID-19, as you know, has helped to accelerate the adoption of digital technologies as companies seek to boost their competitiveness by slimming down and reducing established costs on their business. Many in the West here, people are teleworking, working from home. Schools have been online. Africa lags behind in all this, and as you comment, beginning with you, Vincent, also, yes. I want you to comment on the impact on African children who are sitting at home. They can't have online classes, and they're having a dead year.
And here is the tragedy. These kids are competing in the same space with the kids in the Western world. We are purporting to provide education, quality education, to millions of children who have no access to electricity, who have no access to internet. Now, today, with COVID-19, everybody globally is doing their schoolwork from home. Now, how do you expect in the 21st century to produce kids who have the same level of knowledge, who have the same kind of skills and preparedness for the future, when you can't have access to the tools that are making it possible for the kids in the other countries in the West and even Asian countries, continue with their education online? And now what this is doing is that we are undermining the production of the skilled manpower for the future. We are keeping our kids behind in as much as we may push them forward in terms of the grade level and all that, but we're not giving them the same quality education. We're not giving the same access in the world where we are extremely... it's extremely technical. I mean, a techno world today. We are having our kids still back there sitting. I went to Malawi and I saw children sitting under a tree. I saw children crammed in a classroom that they don't even have a place to sit. And you look at that and say, how do you expect the continent of Africa to produce the manpower that is badly needed to propel it into development and growth if you can't give them quality education today? And this COVID-19 is exposed as even worse than before.
Yes.
Because what is going to happen by next year. We're going to have, we have a situation I had in Kenya where they have considered some children as having literally missed a year of schooling.
That is
what they have decided. They really didn't get education. So by next year, they will be 1 year behind.
I see. Suleiman, 5 seconds.
Internet access has not only been a problem, has not only been limited, it has been expensive, but even restricted. African government have been cracking down on the internet access itself. Number two, poor leadership which we have for the last 20, 30 years, they have not invested in progress. They have invested the hugest chunk of the budgets have been going on defense and politics, education, health, agriculture, industry. They have been ignored. So how do you expect them to, how do you expect our kids to be considered, because the leadership which we have is rotten, is rusty, is selfish, is senseless? So until when we change the leadership on the continent, this is when we can be able to forge ahead together with other developed countries.
Okay, in a word, both of you, beginning with Suleiman. So post-coronavirus economy Africa?
A challenge, a very serious challenge.
Vincent?
Yes, it's going to shake the continent of Africa. Come next year, this continent will be wobbling and almost not knowing where to go and how to go.
Well, gentlemen, we will revisit this as things go on. Otherwise, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor, Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much once again for being on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for joining us. I'm Douglas Simpoga in Washington, wishing you all the best.
Encounter program, guest host VOA TV senior analyst Jeffrey Young discusses the hot issue of the West repatriating Africa's looted antiquities and artifacts. Western museums are reluctant to give back what colonialists looted centuries ago, but Africans insist that they be given back the works of their ancestors. Tune in this Saturday and Sunday to hear this discussion on VOA's Encounter. Join a panel of prominent Washington journalists as they deliberate the latest top stories of the week. This weekend, Issues in the News moderator Dan Raviv will lead the panel on a discussion of the Trump administration considering unilateral action to end a stalemate with Congress on a coronavirus bill. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London. You are invited to join me every day for border crossings. This is unprecedented times that we're all faced with. Everybody's at home. Everybody's sitting and wondering what the future will hold once this COVID-19 virus is under control on a worldwide level. Well, in the meantime, I'm here to help you forget about the problems going on outside your door. Tune in for an hour of music every day by request on Border Crossings.